Even if you notice in the songs that we sang, the word blessed or blessings are used so many different ways, and even in our English language. And so many times we think of this about a father's blessing, and I want to put this up again. Sometimes we think about them a certain way for those that weren't in the first assembly, or a reminder for those that were. And so in the Old Testament, we certainly do have a blessing used in multiple ways, and it has to do with context. And as I said, this one particular word, Barak, is used 331 times in 289 verses. That's not counting the other words that are used, but this happens to be the one that we're concentrating mostly on today. So we want, again, let's look at some of the meanings of this. It's to invoke God, to praise or to celebrate. In my lifetime, I don't remember too many people that have ever said, bless God, even though we could clearly say that from the Scriptures, but it's just not language we use nowadays. We use other words to substitute for that, usually like we praise you or we adore you or something along that line. But it's also the idea of blessing someone else. Like, for instance, a father blessing his children, and sometimes it's being prophetic in it. But it's also talking about divine favor and how we receive things from God, and then it's just saluting someone, and we wish goodwill to them, and we invoke a blessing on them. We wish God's goodwill on them. Now, the reason I call this a father's blessing is because it does come from the Heavenly Father. Even those father's blessings, those fathers of households, that if they were giving something to their sons that they had received from God, it still came from God. Every one of these things come from God, except for the time we return that to Him in some fashion or another. So we talk about this man to man, or human to human, a man to God, a representative God, God to creation, and God to man. So I wanted to talk about how God had blessed His creation, and the importance of this is beyond what we can fully understand. Now, we can see this passage of Scripture in Genesis 1, 21 and 22. After He had created these great sea creatures and these birds and multiple other things, He says He created them, every living thing that moves, with which the waters abounded according to their kind, and every winged bird according to its kind, and God saw that it was good. And God blessed them. Now, this is a powerful blessing. I don't know that we can recognize what all went into this. Be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth. Or fill the waters in the seas and let birds multiply on the earth. He's letting the creatures that He had created know that He was blessing them. And the blessing is that we still have these creatures today. They can still be fruitful and multiply only because of God. It is through God's providence and goodness that they exist and continue to exist. Just like everything else that's created, we don't exist because we're so great. We exist because God makes sure we exist. And so these creatures exist because of God and continue to be fruitful and multiply. That's a powerful blessing. That comes straight from a Father in heaven. But He also, a part of His creation was the days, the 24-hour periods. And so on this last one, Genesis 2, 1 through 3, thus the heavens and the earth and all the hosts of them were finished. And on the seventh day, God ended His work which He had done, and He rested on the seventh day from all His work which He has done. But He put special emphasis on this for Himself, but to let us know that He created these, He blesses them. Not the only day that He blesses, but this was a special day because this is the day He quit creating. Then God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because it is He rested from all His work which God had created and made. This is powerful again. We know nothing else about this until Mosaic Law came along, and then He says He set it aside for them and them only, because, and He refers back to this day. In other words, this meant something. It was a day of rest. Now, we don't consider the seventh day as our day of rest. Now, there is something else been created, a rest for that remained for the people of God. That's equally important that He's blessed as well. So we can see the power in this, that in the physical creation, when He puts His blessing on it, it will continue to function the way He wants it to. Then we find sometimes a representative of God would bless another human being. For instance, Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought out bread and wine. He was a priest of the God Most High in Genesis 14, 18 through 20. And he blessed him and said, this is again powerful. This didn't come from Melchizedek. This came from the fact that he was high priest of God, and he's pronounced a special blessing on this man before God made Abraham all these promises, or Abram. Blessed be Abram of God Most High, possessor of heaven and earth, and blessed be God Most High. You see, he not only wanted to do this for Abraham, but he also wanted to make sure that he praised God as well. Who has delivered your enemies into your hand, and he gave him a tithe of all. That is, Abraham gave him a tithe. But what happened with all this was, where does the blessing come from? The fact that Abraham, on this occasion, did what God wanted him to do, and as a result, Melchizedek blesses him for it. Then we find an angel in Genesis 22, 15 through 18. Called Abraham a second time out of heaven and said, by myself I have sworn, says the Lord, because you have done this thing and have not withheld your son, your only son. We know the occasion. He took Isaac up on that mountain. He put him on the altar, or on the wood, and the altar he prepared, and he was going to present him to God and had the knife up to kill him. And so as a result of his obedience to God, this is what the angel says to him from God. This is not an angel. This is just delivering a message. Blessing, I will bless you. And multiplying, I will multiply your descendants as the stars of the heaven, as the sand which is on the seashore. And your descendants shall possess the gates of their enemy. Now this is prophetic as well. This is an angel pronouncing a blessing that is prophetic. An angel letting him know what he will receive as a result of his obedience. Then we find an angel with Jacob. And we know this story about how he wrestled with him. And here Jacob is saying, why is this happening to me? What's going on in Genesis 32, 24 through 31? Now the reason we know it's an angel is from Hosea 12, 4. In which Hosea says it was an angel. A representative of God that came to him. And what we find is he's there with him and he don't want to let him go. And it's interesting in this. I don't know where you ever thought about this before, but Jacob wants to know the name of this one he is wrestling with. And he won't give it to him. He won't give it to him at all. But later on, he's going to come back and change his name. I find this interesting. Or in this occasion, your name shall no longer be called Jacob, but Israel. I should have said not later, but now. For you have struggled with God and with men and have prevailed. And so he still wants to know his name, and he won't tell him. And he blessed him there. Powerful again, because Jacob recognized the importance of this. That we do receive everything we have from God. And in this case, he received something. He said, seen God and prevailed. I have seen him, and my life is preserved. We find that in this circumstance, we have a man who's a false prophet. He's a prophet of God, Balaam, but he doesn't want to be. He wants to do whatever the money provides. He wants to tell it the way he wants to tell it. He's made his mind up that if he receives a certain amount of sum, he'll do whatever Balak wants him to do and the Moabites. So he says to him, Balak had said, I want you to curse Israel. You got to curse them for me. And he says, okay, but I got to do what God says. So I tell you what, you prepare some altars and some sacrifices and I'll come up there tomorrow, 7 of them. Well, he does, and he takes the oracle up there, and this is what he says. God is not a man that he should lie, nor a son of man that he should repent. Has he said, and shall he not do it, or has he spoken, and shall he not make it good? Balaam, who didn't want to say this, is afraid of God. And so what he says is, I can't change what God has sent me to do. I will not change it. Now later on he will. He will disobey God. But now he's afraid to at this point. So he says, behold, I've received a command to bless. He is blessed and I cannot reverse it. He said, let me explain to you why. He has not observed iniquity in Jacob. Nor has he seen wickedness in Israel. The Lord is God is with him. The shout of a king is among them. God brings them out of Egypt. He has strength like a wild ox. There is no sorcery against Jacob, nor any divination against Israel. It now must be said of Jacob and of Israel, oh, what God has done. I'm going to bless them instead. Now, this is interesting. You see the condition on this? I'm going to bless them now. But now we're reminded of when Moses said the blessings and the curses. You receive this if you'll do what I say. He says they're doing what I want right now. Everyone? No, absolutely not. But as a whole, they were doing what he wanted. It's conditional. Those blessings will exist. Balaam pronounced them from God on Israel. Balak could do nothing against them at this point. He could not do a thing against them. And then Moses, the children of Israel, in Deuteronomy 2, verse 7. He says, for the Lord your God has blessed you in all the work of your hand. He knows you're trudging through this great wilderness. These 40 years the Lord your God has been with you, you have lacked nothing. Another kind of a blessing. He's saying, do you not realize that every moment of that 40 years, every moment, it was God. It wasn't you. You couldn't preserve. We find out later that their clothes didn't wear out. Their shoes didn't wear out. They were able to take care of themselves. He provided them food. He did everything for them for those 40 years, the ones that he allowed to make it through. We also know that those 20 and above, or above 20, didn't make it. I always get that wrong, whichever way it is. But he said he's blessed you. That is, God has been with you. God has preserved you. God has prospered you all these years. And then we find that the last one, Malachi, in Malachi 3:10. To those who used what they had for God. He was very concerned about them. It'll be approximately 400 and some years before Christ comes into the world. He sends this prophet to talk to them because they're starting to fall back in their old ways again. They've come out of captivity. They've done well for a while. They've tried. They're doing some things right, but they're doing some things wrong. And in Malachi, he's very concerned about them. And he wants them to know what God would do in return if they just obey him. So he mentions many things, but among those things, he talks about the fact that God, as Cody pointed out, has blessed us with everything we have. It belongs to him. I belong to him. Everything that I have belongs to him. But he gives it to me to use. He lets me make choices with it. One of my choices should always be to use it to serve others. One of the ways that he's told us to do that is to lay by in stores we've been prospered. It is to take care of the work of a local church. And as we look at that and we think about it, under the law of Moses, it was very similar. Only he told them exactly how much they should give under that law. Now, it's more, we see this tenth, but they were to give other things as well. There's a lot of what they had should go back to, if you'll excuse how I'm going to say, to the Lord. Now, it might go to the government. It might go to the Levites. It might go to provide something, but it always went back to serve what God wanted them to do. Now, technically, we can give nothing back to him. Even though I might give into this collection plate, it is not, in reality, doing anything other than saying to God, thank you, let's do some of the things you want done. So here's what he said. In verse 10, he said that they had robbed, in the previous verses, in 8 and 9, he said, you've robbed me. And they said, well, no, we didn't rob you. He said, yes, you did. Yes, you did. You didn't give as I asked you to give. And so he goes on, he says, bring all the tithes into the storehouse that there may be food in my house, and try me now in this, says the Lord of hosts. If I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you such blessing, not blessings, such blessing that there will be room, that there will not be room enough to receive it. God says, you don't really have a concept, human beings. You do not understand what I'm capable of doing. If you would just look around and see, you would know. He'd already blessed the creatures. Had they done well? Did they survive? Yes. Had he already blessed all of these things that he had created? Did he not look at those and say they were all good? Yes. And were they not continuing? Did he not take care of them? The only ones that really were not receiving these well were human beings. And what happened to them was they got very selfish in what they were doing, and they hoarded and they kept, and they would not take and use it in the ways that God had wanted them to. Now, I said, this may still be representative, and I'll say it again at the end, but here we have God talking to humans, to Adam and Eve. In Genesis 1:26-28, actually not said to them, but said to us about them. Let us make man in our image according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. So God created man in His own image. In the image of God He created them. Male and female He created them. Then God blessed them. And now we see why. What it was about. And God said to them, so He did say to Adam and Eve, be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it, have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over a living thing that moves on the earth. In this, God pronounced a blessing on Adam and Eve. He put them in a perfect place. He put them in a situation where they could have access to the tree of life. He put them in a situation where they had everything that you could possibly want. And only said, told them some things they needed to do, and they did those, but He gave them one command, do not. And as a result of this, think about what happened to them. But God did bless them and give them an opportunity. Later on, after the earth had gotten so wicked, He destroys it again with a flood. Noah and his family come out of this flood, and we find in Genesis 9:1, so God blessed Noah and his sons and said to them, be fruitful, multiply, and fill the earth. Now here's why I'm going to use these two passages of Scripture. A totally different kind of blessing. I couldn't give that blessing to anyone. I could pass it on to them from God, but we see that what happened with this was there would be no multiplying, there would be no filling of the earth if not for God. These children that are being killed in the womb are God's children. They come from God. We have no right to destroy them or any other living thing, living human being. When we think about this and we think of what's happening on this occasion, it is God that's blessing life. It is God that's bringing life into the world. We cannot do it on our own. We need His help. Then we find in Genesis 12:1-3, the Lord had said to Abraham, get out of your country, from your family, and from your father's house to a land that I will show you. I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. I will bless those that bless you, and I will curse him who curses you, and then all the families of the earth shall be blessed. How many times could you use it in one passage? And when you think about this in the English, it's difficult for us. Because we've got this one word that we're using over and over again, but it's used in different contexts throughout the whole Scripture. And you think about this. Did He bless Abraham? Yes. Did He take care of Abraham? Yes. Did Abraham get on earth what God promised him that his descendants would get? No. Was Abraham pleased with that? Yes. Did He make a promise to Abraham and bless him in such a way that through him keeping, as we've already talked about, families alive and multiplying them, would this all happen the way He said, and through him would all the nations of the earth be blessed? Yes. And you think about this passage of Scripture. Such a beautiful passage of Scripture. And He even says, I will bless those that bless you. In other words, I will take care of the ones that treat you right. That's pretty amazing. To Sarah, He would say, I will bless her. In Genesis 17:16, I will bless her and she shall be a mother of nations, kings of people shall be from her. Again, prophecy. We see that God has the right and does know the future and can determine when He wants to reveal that through that right that He has to people. In this case, He lets us know that Sarah would be the mother of nations. And so what we find then is God blesses His son Isaac after Abraham dies. We find that Jacob comes with some prophecy in Genesis 35. Then God appeared to Jacob again. And we know from the first one it was an angel. When he came from Padan Aram and blessed him. And again he makes a comment to him, your name is Jacob, but it's not going to be Jacob anymore. And he lets him know, this is coming from me, I am God Almighty, be fruitful, multiply. And he lets him know as a result of this, what all he will receive from God. Again, did Isaac receive that in his lifetime? No. But this was a promise made to him, a blessing given to him, and he received all the things that he was told to. And then all of these, that I've talked about, of those last few, may have come through agency. We don't know, because sometimes it'll say God, and we'll know later on in another passage of Scripture, sometimes even the New Testament lets us know God was using agency. He would send an angel to go talk to someone, and that's the one that appeared to them. I was thinking, when we were studying not too long ago from Hebrews 13, about how several of the people had entertained angels, unaware that they were angels. And I was thinking about certainly some of these people we've studied today, like a Jacob, he didn't know. He thought he was God himself. Abraham, the three angels appear, he doesn't know that. He entertains them and he fixes them food and stuff, and then finds out later on they're representing God. You see this happen on many occasions. You see Daniel seeing, in human form, angels coming to him. So they were told of God to do that. So either way, it doesn't really matter where God directly did it or did it through agency. It is a blessing. Again, I'll remind us, we can see that fathers bless their children. I think every one of us should pass on a blessing to our children. We should require of them and ask of them to serve God, and thus they will be blessed in that type of a blessing. We can't do it like the fathers did before the law of Moses. We do not have that type of ability to know what the future holds. We can tell them some things about our future, and I'll talk about that in a moment, but we can't do anything about that. So sometimes when we look at this, it's conditional. We've got to know the context. But with God, it's always we kneel down or praising, or we certainly use our mouths to talk to Him in such a way that we show that we're in awe of Him. We cannot give anything to God. I can do everything I want to, but it all belongs to Him anyway. But with that said, He still requires things. He still wants me to give of myself. He wants my love. He wants my obedience. Now with that, it's conditional. Because I have to accept it for faith and I have to obey. I need to make some changes in my life. Again, I need to confess His Son, and I need to be immersed in water for the remission of my sins. And as a Christian, I needed to continue living the way He wants me to. Now, when we're talking about this today and we're talking about blessings, I wanted to save a little time at the end to talk about something. When we're talking about this in this broad context of how it's all used, there is nothing more precious than what we did this morning, the blessing that we have in taking the Lord's Supper as His children. The greatest blessing that's been bestowed on mankind is our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Nothing compares to it. Everything else I've ever received of God I've needed from God, because He gives only good and perfect gifts. But the greatest blessing that He ever gave us was His Son. His Son took my place. His Son made it possible through my obedience to receive my forgiveness. It's not because I can do something to earn my salvation, but I need to do something to accept my salvation. If I expect to be saved and receive the blessings that Jesus has provided for me, or the blessing, because it is one continuous thing, then I will understand that the greatest blessing after this life is being able to be with Him eternally. I will never be separated from Him again, regardless. And I think of, wouldn't we all want eternal life, everlasting life? Isn't that what we really want? Isn't that what Abraham looked forward to, Isaac looked forward to, and Jacob looked forward to? It wasn't the physical things they had in life. It was what they could have after this life. But to get that, we need to be obedient to Him. If you have any needs, we'd be glad to assist you. Would you please stand?